Here on K1AM 1400 FM 93.3, 8:35 a.m. And Community Connection this morning brought to you by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic, First Baptist Church, and Tallgrass Motors. Back-to-back weeks, we have Kevin Hernan. Excited to be here. This is the third time I think I've interviewed you, and this is good stuff. Having a lot of fun. What has changed in the week from last week to this week? I know you got a celebration, I believe, a get-together, if you will. Is being planned by Mr. Representative Earl Sears. Let me see here. I'm pulling this thing up. It's going to be the 28th, this next Thursday.
Yes.
Looking forward to it?
I am, absolutely. It's special. Representative Sears is so well-respected up here, and I really appreciate I've spent, you know, quite a few months now talking with him, and really appreciate his support, his endorsement, and his help in getting out to meet more of the Bartians up here and just getting to know them. And he has been a tremendous coach on some of the ideas and thoughts of what the folks in Bartlesville are looking for in their next congressman, so I greatly appreciate his support, as well as many of the others. We have several folks in the Bartlesville area that are hosting this event, this reception next week, and I greatly appreciate all their support.
Now, you're in the community center. You're in the big time here in Bartlesville. A lot of people expected to come out, hopefully?
Yes. We've invited a lot of folks. A lot of folks have had a lot of interest that have logged onto our website through all these different folks. And we really appreciate, again, their support and their willingness to help out.
And I guess at this get-together, I assume you'll be there, you'll be speaking.
Yes.
Or you'll be taking questions? What's
sure.
Kind of the agenda for this?
I think, you know, if you're not willing to take questions, then you probably shouldn't even be running, because that's really, there's a lot of things on folks' minds. We were just joking before we went on air about, you know, what's real news now. Mm-hmm. And so people really want to hear directly from the candidate. You don't even know what's really news and real coming out of Washington, D.C. now. It seems like that something is debunked 2 weeks or a month afterwards, as we're seeing right now, what's going on with the whole wiretapping, the Facebook ads. I mean, it's just hard to find where stable ground is now in news.
Mm-hmm. And so a lot of questions. Are you going to give a speech out there, I assume, as well?
Sure. I have, I'll tell folks who I am, what mm-hmm. I'm about, where I came from. Why I'm running. I think that's always important. Why you're doing this, especially as a business person that doesn't really need to be doing this job. People are always curious about why would somebody that has multiple businesses that would want to go to a place as crazy as Washington, D.C.
And we've talked about this a lot. I think a lot of people probably are aware kind of who you are. You've been on a couple times here for Community Connection.
Sure.
And, you know, for people who are coming in there and stuff, I guess, and don't, you know, have to ruin the speech there. It's going to be a surprise you got to show up to. But why are you running?
Sure.
When you have multiple businesses?
Yeah, I think that, I always go back to what one of my dearest friends, Congress Bridenstine also, but Senator Coburn used to say mm-hmm. to me for many years, people wonder, it's kind of the old story, if you keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results, that's the definition of insanity. As Senator Coburn has said many times to many people, it seems like I've heard it a lot, and it's resonated well, is if we continue to send people to Washington, D.C., getting the best job they've ever had, making the most money they've ever made, receiving a pension they never would have gotten, and then expecting different results, then we're sadly fooling ourselves. And so, you know, I'm at a point in my life where I've seen a lot in business. I've, for 20 plus years now, I've been signing both sides of the paycheck. I'm the last to get paid. I have multiple small businesses, including McDonald's restaurants, about 650 employees. And I've seen the impact of Obamacare, not only on the business side, but on the individuals themselves, paying for insurance as a young person that doesn't think they need insurance, as well as the escalating year-over-year cost of the premiums, as well as the deductibles going through the roof. And, you know, for somebody, only in Washington, D.C. would you have a group of politicians that says that something is not failing, when on the other hand, rates are rising at double-digit increases, you only have one supplier, you don't get to see your same doctor, all the promises have been broken. And, oh, by the way, the worst time that we're seeing all these tremendous escalations are after President Obama left office. How convenient is that?
So you mentioned just earned insurance a second ago. One thing that's been on social media a little bit recently, that's trending recently, and I know that you just keep up with Twitter and Facebook and the youth culture very well, is that there was a man in somewhere in the United States who was complaining about insurance and saying, he said the question of, you know, why should I, if I'm healthy and I'm a person, why should I have to pay for somebody else's insurance? Was the question. He ended up getting into a car accident the next day or whatever. But it's a lot of questions, and insurance is a complicated thing. And it's, he makes a point, but it also is a good point of, you know, things happen and accidents happen.
Yeah, I don't know. You're right. A lot of people wouldn't buy insurance until after the wreck or after their house is burned, right? I mean, asking every insurance agent, they have to explain that time and time again. But you're right. You know, insurance, the nature of the beast of health insurance, though, as you know, is a younger person has a less tendency of being ill than the person that's more like myself that's older. And so there's where you can put in a catastrophic coverage or bring it down to some level that would capture something like this gentleman had, where you have a catastrophic event where it kicks in at a much higher level, so you don't have the extraordinary costs associated with it. You know, I think the bottom line is, when you talk to people, is they just want the freedom to choose. The freedom to keep the government from between themselves and their doctor, the opportunity to go out and look for to drive down cost and to use it when they need it, right? It's really a problem when you look at the free market approach to health insurance, or any insurance for that matter, but specifically health insurance. There's a lot of transparency in car insurance. You can shop on the internet. You know, again, a car is not a living, breathing, so I'm not comparing it as a car versus a life, but just in the practice of free market principles. You can shop your home insurance online, you can shop your car insurance online, but you can't really necessarily do that with your health insurance. And there's a very famous economics gentleman named Milton Friedman who described the problem we have with federal government, with any government for that matter, is when we take somebody else's money, namely taxpayers' money, and we spend that money on somebody else, and we don't know a face to either one of those, we tend to be the less responsible is of all the different categories. However, when we take our own money and spend it on ourselves, we're the most frugal, we seek out the best value, we look for the best best method possible to take care of that money, because we earned it, we got to keep it, we got to use it. And this gets back into the narrative that even Senator Coburn and many others talked about back in 07, prior to leading up to Obamacare, is creating, really working at the health savings account, talking about how we can make those where they carry over year to year, so you're spending your own money, and so you can go shop out. And I'll give you one example of that. If you're getting an MRI in Tulsa, you can go to a lot of places and spend $2,500 to $3,500, or you can go to Servant Imaging in Broken Arrow and pay $600. Same document, same machine does this, doctors administrate it, and it's really serving these technical fields across, you know, just like anybody else would. And so you're driving, if it's your money and you're spending, you're going to save $2,600 that you can carry over the next year, you're going to find those kind of savings across the board. And it's just really a free market approach.
Absolutely. So the freedom to choose, would you say that you're kind of in favor for smaller government in that sense then?
Absolutely. You know, I believe the federal government should only do the things that it was empowered to do from day one, that we the people empowered them to have. You know, we really have the defense of our nation, which gets us into, you know, the whole conversation about the border wall, which I've been in favor of from day one. I think some of my opponents are starting to drift over that way now. But it's important. We have to secure our borders. We have to have a strong military. We see all the craziness around the world. We see in Korea. We see in Iran. We see in the Middle East. And we have people out there who want to hurt us on our homeland, and we have to secure that. We have the responsibility of treaties, which we're dealing with right now. And when you get much beyond that, I would find it challenging for most people to go find out where the federal government should be into the business of what they're in right now with a lot of people, collecting money, redistributing it back. One could even argue that the block grants is a little bit of a challenge, in a sense that they're collecting monies across the United States and turning around giving us back our own money. And we're supposed to be feeling bad about that or good about that, according to which side of the fence you're on. Why don't we just leave it in the states? But you know, we'll see how that all turns out as well. But I'm tremendous free market guy, limited government guy.
Absolutely. States' rights, keeping things in-house there a little bit.
But I will correct you on one thing, Ben. Yeah, the states really don't have rights. It's really the people have their rights. The states just happen to be where they live in the borders. But it's really it's the right of the people, right? I mean, when we separated from England, the rights were given to the people. The people derived and came up with a divine intervention in the United States Constitution to outline how the government should act. And I think when you go beyond Article 1, Section 8 of the enumerated powers, we are violating that every single day. Mm-hmm. Unconstitutional activity. And we've got to start reining that back in. And we're not doing that. We're actually drifting the other way.
Should you be elected, how do you start doing that?
Well, you start looking at what, first of all, the Congress has abdicated a lot of its power to the legislative branch or to agencies. You know, you'll create an agency, give that agency some power that's not really directed or managed by the people. Mm-hmm. And you say, go out and find people. First of all, go out and create a regulation. Let's use EPA as an example, since it's so near and dear to our heart with Scott Pruitt. Mm-hmm. You create an agency called the Environmental Protection Agency. You let them write their own laws. You let them create their own penalties. You let them enforce their own laws. And then you let them, you know, go out and do the adjudication of what those penalties are going to be, and all those money stay in the EPA. They never come back into the federal treasury. And so in 2015, I believe it was, that if you look at that, you take the National Park Service, the list goes on and on with these different agencies, there was about $517 billion collected in fees and fines that never went back into the federal treasury. And so, you know, we just have a problem. Congress needs to get its powers back that was given to Congress back in the beginning, and not worry about whether they're going to get a reelected or not, but do their job.
All right. Looking at our time, got to take a quick little break. We'll come back. More Community Connection on the way. Kevin Hernan.
If you're suffering from a bad back, bad knees, need a hip replacement, call the Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, 918-494-9300. With a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff, EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in Eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
All right, back at it again. Community Connection. Community Connection. K1AM 1400 FM 93.3. Kevin Hearn, we're talking a little bit earlier about government and stuff. A smaller government was something we had mentioned earlier. I feel a lot of people are kind of scared of the government a little bit. They don't really know what's kind of going on. I will happily put my hand in that category. It seems kind of like this big, scary monster. We don't really know what's happening. We just know that it affects us, and it's going to affect us whether we want it to or not.
Sure. I think, you know, one of the big problems, Ben, is that it seems like there's when people get elected, they go to Washington, D.C., and they kind of go into this separate world in this 10-square-mile 10 miles on each side, 100 square mile place called Washington, D.C. And it's different when you fly in, it's different when you come back home. And we need to create more transparency. You know, I'll just give you an example as a business guy. You asked me before we went to break what I'd like to see happen. There are more and more business people coming on. And that's the beautiful thing about the House of Representatives. It can change every 2 years, and you're going to see a lot of people leave and start coming in under the Trump administration that are more business oriented because they see some hope. Every business person out there in America has to live and breathe by financial statements, has to live by a process, accounting process called GAAP, where it's a general accepted accounting principles, where everything goes into a certain bucket so that everybody across America can compare Apple to GM to McDonald's, and you know with certainty that they're comparable. The only two entities in the United States that don't have to do that are the federal government and the state's governments. The states have a little bit of oversight of the federal government, but there's really no oversight of the federal government because they don't have to comply with that. They have their own set of principles independent of everybody else. And you don't have any idea where all your tax dollars are going when they come in or where your expenses are going when they go out. And so people have just an inherent distrust of what goes on with, you know, $3 trillion in taxes collected. And oh, by the way, we spend $4 trillion. So we borrow $1 trillion a year, between $500 billion and $1 trillion a year, to pay for our 12 appropriations that the Congress has to deal with each year. Our federal budget that was just submitted, that they're all haggling over right now, was a little over $4 trillion, and 73% of that budget is going to Medicare, Social Security, and interest on the debt. So we have about $1 trillion left over to service our entire economy. But we only take in $3 trillion, so we're borrowing that entire trillion from people like Japan and China to run our... We're spending $600 billion on the military. We're borrowing that money from China, the very people that we're arguing with over Korea. So you start seeing very quickly how convoluted it is in what you're hearing on the news. So we have really about $400 billion to run all the core services. About 10% of our budget really runs the core services of America. The rest of it is mandatory spending, interest on the debt, and the military. And so really the Congress deals strictly with about $400 billion, about 10% of the budget. So we have to kind of rein that in. I mean, you think about your own personal life. If everything you made, you're only 10%, everything else is automatically spent, and you had to figure out how you were going to live on 10%, and you didn't have, and individuals listening out there don't have the opportunity to go borrow to live every year. That's right. Insanity. And so that's a problem. And, you know, so we look at that, health care, we look at the tax policies we have out there, we look at the immigration policies we have, the labor policies, you know, that's a problem. And so, we go back to the business thing. It's being able to take in a lot of inputs and create solutions going forward. Spent a lot of time looking at that on the health care side. That's why John Doak, the state insurance commissioner, has endorsed me. I've spent a lot of time with him. That's why Representative Earl Sears has endorsed me, because spending a lot of time with him talking about solutions. And people are at a point right now where we're looking at solutions. We've knocked on thousands of doors across the first district in the last 2 months. Without fail, when people hear my spiel and I open up and I tell them I'm a business person, the first thing they ask me is, do you support Donald Trump? And I say, absolutely. I think the economic policies trying to put in place is going to catapult us for another 20 years, just like Ronald Reagan did. And every one of them support Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. It's just people are getting it. They know that our economy is in shambles and we have to fix it.
Well, Donald Trump, yourself, businessmen, you made the comment that more businessmen and women are getting into government in general, just trying to make the solutions. A lot of money being borrowed. Do you see that the amount of money borrowed will go down? The more business people like yourself should get into Congress or whoever they're running for.
Yeah, just it's all math, really. I mean, we're growing in the last 8 years. We've only grown about, it's been adjusted now, about 1.47% per year. That was the average growth of our economy over the 8 years that President Obama was in office. Prior to that, for history, we grew at a little under 4%. If you add those 2 points back on, just in the next 4 years, we'll add $2 trillion to the federal treasury. And you think about how much less that'll make us have to borrow, especially if we can keep our appetite of spending down. But it's really, we've got to get this under control. 2000, our debt was $5 trillion. 16 and a half years later, it's going on $21 trillion. We cannot continue to grow like that. It is the definition of insanity.
Absolutely. A lot of people, several people so far, starting to endorse you. You've been all over the area. You've been to Bartlesville several times, getting second week in a row here on Community Connection. We love having you. We love speaking with you. You have another event, if you will, coming up September 28th. You're going to be there. Starts at 5:30, going until 7. It's going to be at the Community Center. It's hosted by Representative Earl Sears, who is very near and dear to Bartlesville's heart. A lot of things. And at this point in the process... Do you see that it's convincing a lot of people, or it's just explaining who you are and and showing, like, I'm here, this, like, join me kind of a thing. Oh, you feel like a lot of people believe the same things you believe, I guess.
Absolutely. Without fail, 100% of the time, many parades. We've been in over, I think, 11 parades now. I walk every one of them, shake hands, and everyone says we need more business people in Washington, D.C. That's a validation of President Trump. We just have to tell our story. We have to have opportunities like you're giving us here, Ben. We really appreciate this opportunity. Get out and have people like State Commissioner John Doak and Representative Earl Sears and many others that are going to be coming out here as we start rolling out these endorsements to tell our story. And, you know, we've never been in politics before. I'm not a politician. I'm not going to be politically correct, I can tell you. And people are sick of hearing political correctness. You know, we're sick of it here in the 1st District, in Oklahoma. Quite frankly, across the United States, people are sick of that. They want to just hear it how it is, how you're going to fix it, how you're going to use your talents. We're hiring a congressman from this 1st District to represent us. Every one of these congressmen and women should look at themselves as employees of the people that they represent. And you're going to represent all people, all 750,000 in the 1st District. You need to take your experiences to go listen to people, as we started out this whole conversation, listen to people, take your ability of things that you've learned and go lead. People are so desperate for leadership, and that's all it is. I am an internal optimist, an internal and an eternal optimist. I think that this country, there's no greater country in the world. We're stumbling right now really badly. It's like having a lot of great players, but no coach. We need a coach. We've got a head coach. We need some assistant coaches. We need coaches in our districts, coaches in our states to go out and help this president lead this country back to greatness, greater than we are today. And that's what I want to do.
One heck of an application for a coaching job here.
It
well,
is.
28th, you're coming up. People want to know more information about you. Maybe this is the first time hearing you.
Sure.
I know that they always listen, always, the time on Community Connections. They heard you last Friday. But in case this is their first time, they just moved here, where can they find more information about you?
HernForCongress.com, H-E-R-N, forcongress.com. And you can volunteer there. You can request signs. We're putting up signs all over the district. You can read. We've got a video on there. It's about a little over 3 minutes. It will sort of tell a little bit of my story. We'll be launching radio and other media here in the very near future. And, you know, I think we all just also remember Congressman Bridenstine for the great work he's done in this district. I know it's really tough on him right now going through this process of not being able to vote for the citizens of the 1st District and going through his process of confirmation, which I had the advantage of going and seeing Scott Pruitt's, and it's tough. I mean, these guys are relentless and ruthless, and they take unnecessary pot shots at you for something you never did, and you have to defend that with a smile.
Absolutely.
And he'll do a great job. So we really appreciate that. It's a tremendous opportunity for Oklahoma in the 1st District.
Well, you're the man, but it takes a lot of people to run this campaign.
It
does. A pretty good job. 28th, 5:30, Bartlesville Community Center. You'll be there. A lot of people will be there. President Earl Sears will be there. Looking forward to it. HernForCongress.com. We appreciate you coming in, Mr. Hearn.
Thanks, Ben.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motor.